Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 15 through 31. This is the word of the Lord. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary when the people of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me. And they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall approach my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. When they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall wear linen garments. They shall have nothing of wool on them, for they minister at the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waists. They shall not bind themselves with anything that causes sweat. And when they go out into the outer court to the people, they shall put off the garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, lest they transmit holiness to the people with their garments. They shall not shave their heads or let their locks grow long. They shall surely trim the hair of their heads. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not marry a widow or a divorced woman, but only virgins of the offspring of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. In a dispute, they shall act as judges, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts, and they shall keep my Sabbaths holy. They shall not defile themselves by going near to a dead person, however, for father and mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, they may defile themselves. After it has become clean, they shall count 7 days for him. And on the day that he goes into the holy place, into the inner court, to minister in the holy place, he shall offer his sin offering, declares the Lord God. This shall be their inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. You shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the first fruits of all kinds, and every offering of all kinds from all your offerings shall belong to the priests. You shall also give to the priests the first of your dough, that a blessing may rest on your house. The priests shall not eat of anything, whether bird or beast, that has died of itself, or is torn by wild animals. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, we ask your blessing upon this word. We pray that you would open our hearts to it, that we might treasure the one who was revealed in it. We ask in his name. Amen. All that is heavenly is good. But not all that is good is heavenly. This is one lesson of the Sabbath day. For on the Sabbath day, we are called to let go of this world. Not only of what is bad in it, but even of what is good in it. On the Sabbath day, we let go of this world to lay hold of another. And so, on this day, we rest from the work of this world. Work that is good, to take up a better work, the work of the world to come. It is the work of worship, the work of fellowship, the work of love, the work of joy. That work is the life of heaven. And that life is best understood. Let us toil our labor. Let us rest. Toil brings sweat. And sweat can be good, but it is not heavenly. It is earthly. It may be found on earth, but it is not found in heaven. This is why in Ezekiel chapter 44, the priests who entered the holy places were not to bind themselves with anything that causes sweat. For to enter the holy places is to enter the heavenly realm. So the priests were to put off not only what is unclean, but even what is common. And though sweat did not make someone unclean, it was not to be brought into the sanctuary, for it is not found in the heavenly realm. It is bound to the earthly realm. And as we considered last Lord's Day, it is bound not only to our condition as man. It is bound to our fallen estate. When our first father said, what did the Lord say to him? Cursed is the ground because of you. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. What then are we to understand by the priest's putting off of sweat as he entered into the holy places? We are to understand it's the hope of our salvation. It's the hope God would save us from the futility of toil and sweat that in the end brings only death. He would raise us from the ground that is cursed and bring us to rest on ground that is holy, where death is no more, where life has no end. And we have this grace in Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. He bore the sweat of our curse that we might enjoy the fruit of his death. For from the ground, upon which he sweat and wept and bled, from that ground he has been raised. By the sweat of his face, you may eat bread, the bread of life, the bread of heaven. And so you see that this vision of Ezekiel, it is fulfilled in Christ. For Christ, in our likeness, clothed in heavenly glory, has entered the holy places and there ministers for us before the Lord. The requirements of the priesthood are fulfilled in him. And the reward of the priesthood may be found in him. And what is that reward? That reward is God himself. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28. This shall be their inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. The Lord himself is the inheritance and possession of Christ. Now Christ, being the Son of God, has always had the Father as his inheritance and possession. The wonder of the incarnation is this. By his death and resurrection, he now enjoys that inheritance and that possession in our likeness. And so what is his by nature becomes ours by grace. See this grace in Ezekiel chapter 44. We find it in one of those obligations laid upon the priests. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25. They shall not defile themselves by going near a dead person. However, for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, they may defile themselves. After he has become clean, they shall count 7 days for him. And on the day that he goes into the holy place, he shall offer his sin offering, declares the Lord. Now we saw this same rule in the book of Leviticus. And it is worth considering again here. For in it we find the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ, and how his inheritance becomes ours, and how his possession becomes ours. Now, this rule concerns death, and how the priest was not to approach a body that had died. For the body of death is unclean. And so to touch the body of one who has died is to become priest was to avoid this. For if he were to defile himself by becoming unclean, he could not enter into the holy places. He could not draw near to the Lord. He would be hindered from his service. And yet he was permitted to defile himself for the sake of burying his father or his mother, for the sake of burying his son or his daughter, or even for the sake of burying his brother or his sister. But as we ponder that list of relations, we may notice one that is missing, one that is closest to him. We may wonder why he was not permitted to defile himself for the sake of burying his wife. Why would a priest be permitted to bury his father or his mother, his son or his daughter, or even his brother or sister, not his own wife? Now, there is no question that ordinarily a husband was to bury his wife. This is why the priest was permitted to bury his sister only if she were unmarried. For if she were married, and her husband was still alive, and it would have been her husband who would have buried her, or the children that she bore to him. And so it may seem strange, and perhaps even cruel, that a priest could make himself unclean for the sake of father and mother, son and daughter, brother and sister, but not for the sake of his wife. For she was one flesh with him. And that is the cruelty of death. For death parts a husband and a wife. After death, they are no longer one flesh. That part of the wife that is her husband dies with her husband. And that part of the husband that is his wife dies with his wife. And yet his love for her does not die with her. And at her death, does he not still desire to embrace her once more, to weep over her, to take her hand, to kiss her face, to call her his beloved and friend. Why is a priest kept from doing these things? It is hard to understand. It would have been hard to accept. Yet by it, we are reminded of this fact that marriage is good, but it is not heavenly. There is a marriage that is heavenly, but it is not the marriage that a man and a woman may here enjoy together. It is the marriage of Christ and the church. In Leviticus chapter 21, verse 4, the priest is told not to make himself unclean as a husband among his people. For the priest was a husband to his people. He was not to make himself unclean on account of his earthly bride, that he might not be hindered from serving the heavenly bride. And so it is that Christ, as our priest, the husband of the church, the church, as God's people, is the bride of Christ. It is the one marriage that will be consummated in heaven. Of it, every earthly marriage, however bad or good, is but a shadow. To it, every earthly marriage, however lonely or lovely, must give way. For nothing can come between Christ and his people. Nothing can separate us from his love, not even death. Christ has done what no other priest could do. For his wife, for his bride, he made himself unclean. He gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify, that he might wash her, that he might cleanse her, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, that she might be holy and blameless. Here then is a marriage that death cannot part. Though we die, he is able to raise us and to bring us to where he himself is. And as our husband, he gives to us himself and all that belongs to him, all of himself and all that is his becomes ours. As his bride, his inheritance becomes our inheritance. As his wife, his possession becomes our possession. And what is his inheritance? What is his possession? It is God himself. We have this grace in Christ, that as he has entered the heavenly places, so we may enter the heavenly places. As he has entered the sanctuary, so we may enter the sanctuary. As he has drawn near to the Lord, so we may draw near to the Lord. As the Father is called his Father, as the Father is called our Father. As the Spirit is his Spirit, so the Spirit is our Spirit. As the Father, we are called his name. As his wife, we become one flesh with him. All that is his becomes ours. All that is his is yours. Our own marriages are beset with many failings. Christ is without failing. This one who wept over us, he bore our sorrows and carried our grief. This one who was defiled for us, he cleanses us. This one who shed his blood for us, his wounds heal us. This one who was buried for us, he redeems us from the curse of the ground. This one who was raised for us, he prepares us a place. This one who was wearied for us, he brings us rest. He is our great high priest. He is our bridegroom of grace. Let us sweat of his face. We may eat the bread of heaven. And by the blood from his side, we are made one flesh with him. All that is his is yours. Let us then, on this Sabbath day, on this most holy day, let go of this world and lay aside every weight. And let us draw near to him, that we may enjoy all that he is. and all that he has. World without end. Amen.